Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
Hello and welcome to our teaching today as we're going to talk about understanding the Bible. And we're going to begin looking at a building, not just the Bible, but a building. It was August in the year 1173 that construction began on a building that would later receive worldwide attention. You see, the foundation was laid, workers started to labor with the marble, and an eight-story structure was being completed. Several architects began to realize something was wrong. There was a slight problem. This beautiful bell tower in Pisa, Italy, seemed to lean just a few inches. And though the design called for an accurate upright building, this medieval tower leaned by 5.5 degrees. That was it. Just 5.5 degrees is all the building leaned. Now, years later, precautions would have to be taken to stop the monumental building, this historic monument, from falling. And the most effective way to prohibit the tower from falling would be to dig up the dirt from around the tower, replace it with a stronger, fresh foundation. However, that never occurred. And so today, the tower stands tall and slanted as the Leaning Tower of Pisa, a sign to the world about the importance of a well-built and secure foundation. You see, our Master Yeshua, the Messiah, we know that that's his name, given to us in the Scriptures when the angels came and they spoke to the Hebrew-speaking Jewish couple of Mary and Joseph. They said, "You shall call him Yeshua, for he shall save his people of their sins." English was not spoken back then, but our Master Yeshua spoke of this concept through the parable of a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And he said, "Therefore, whoever heareth the sayings of mine and does them, he's like a wise man that builds his house on a rock. And the rain comes down, the floods come up, and the wind blew, and the rain descends, and the beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears the sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened to a foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. For the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell with a great fall." The Master Yeshua spoke of how we need to have a strong foundation. What he was saying was, a person that does not base his life upon the foundation of Scriptures is just like a mason working on the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, according to the dictionary, a foundation is that on which a building is built, the first layer of a structure that provides a stable base for a superstructure. Now, with that in mind, do you remember what your first Bible lessons were? What were your first Bible lessons? Most people will say that you learned lessons from the Old Testament, stories about Noah and the Ark, or maybe David and Goliath. Maybe your Sunday school teacher walks you through the catechism so you could be baptized, or maybe you never heard the gospel as a kid and had to return to the teachings of your denomination for your foundation. Now, the question is, in trying to understand the Bible, we need to get to the place that we question what we've been taught. We need to get to the place where we're not scared to question, and we ask ourselves, is this accurate? Because if a bad foundation can cause a building of stone to crumble, then surely a bad spiritual foundation can cause a believer to fall. Take for a moment and ask yourself right now, What is your life based upon? Search your heart. Explore your past. Don't continue with this teaching unless you believe Isaiah 40, verse 8. If you don't think this verse is true, please just cut off this teaching right now. The verse says that the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word remains forever. The word shall stand forever. Do you believe that? The scriptures are clear that a person's spiritual walk should be based upon the foundation of the scriptures, specifically beginning in the Old Testament, and specifically with the first five books of the Old Testament, called the Torah, or the Law of Moses. These are the teachings of Moses, the foundation that the whole Bible is built on. It was given for all Bible believers, not just for the Jewish people. There isn't just a Jewish Bible, and they were never to be replaced with the Gospels. The Messiah did not do away with these things. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, a solid foundation stands firm. And indeed, in the book of Timothy, it says that all Scripture has been breathed by Yahweh, by the Almighty, and is inspired for rebuking and edification and teaching. It tells us in the book of Hebrews that the word of Yahweh is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide spirit and soul asunder. Well, when these verses were written, they were not written about the New Testament. They were not written about the New Testament. The Savior never used the New Testament. These verses, these passages, were written about the Old Testament. When it was said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of Yahweh, it was saying that our faith grows as we hear the word of Yahweh, which was the Old Testament. However, the problem is that when most people are born again or join a church, they turn directly to the middle of their Bible for instruction and inspiration. New believers begin reading the Gospels without ever knowing about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. And let me tell you, it is impossible. It is impossible to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you do not understand Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Suppose you walk into an algebra class, no prior knowledge of math. You don't know an integer from an intersection. You don't know the number 1 from the number 21. The teacher starts the first day of the class, and he says, okay, algebra students, we're going to go to the middle of the book, and we're going to begin teaching and start here. Wouldn't you be lost? That's exactly what most people do when they lay their foundation in only the New Testament, or when that's when they spend the majority of their time. Yes, the New Testament is important. It is key. But the New Testament is understood as we understand the Old Testament, and maybe even understand the Old Testament first, specifically the first five books of the Bible. For it is these words, these five books, that the Messiah used, he read, and he lived. The key to comprehending the Bible, the way to understand the Bible, is indeed look through the lens of the Torah. Every other passage of the Bible, every doctrine of the church, every teaching a person listens to, everything you're going to hear today needs to be filtered through those first five books of the Bible, in Hebrew called Torah. Torah is the Hebrew word for teaching and instruction. It's usually translated as law in English Bibles, and over time the Torah has become the title of those first five books. But it's not law in the sense of a bad thing. Many times we Americans modernized people think of the law as something that is bad, that hinders us, that stops us from doing something. Think of it more as a stop sign that permits proper behavior, as a stop light that says it's time to go, it's time to have caution, it's time to stop. Without a firm foundation in the Torah, sin is excused, false theology is accepted, and the character of Yahweh is altered. For example, we wouldn't even know the name of Yahweh. Yahweh is the sacred name of the Creator, given at the burning bush, used all throughout the Bible over 7,000 times, usually hidden behind the capital letters L-O-R-D or G-O-D in your English Bibles. Pick up your Bible, read the preface of your Bible, and you can see how this name was hidden in the Scriptures. And it was never intended, it never should have been hidden. It tells us in Psalm 11:3, that when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is the question today. Many people acknowledge and realize there are moral problems in our world today. People don't have the morals they used to. People don't live with integrity and honesty. Well, here's what's happened. The foundation has been destroyed. The foundation of Torah and therefore the righteous don't know what to do. You're probably sitting there thinking, well, I thought I was a New Testament Christian. I thought I was supposed to follow the Savior and not the Old Testament. Well, by following the Savior, you are indeed following his interpretation of the Old Testament, of the Torah. The Hebrew word for this is halakha, halakha. Yeshua's halakha is the complete body of teachings which begin with the Torah. They move on through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that no prophecy of Scripture is for private interpretation. Do you know why? That's because Yeshua, the Messiah, the Rabbi, has already interpreted Torah for us. He's shown us how to live through obedience. And that was one of the reasons why he came. Part of his ministry on earth was to confront the false teachers, many religious leaders who had come up with their own way of doing things. Matthew chapter 5, he says very clearly, he says, "You have heard it said to people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Now, it's important here to understand that Yeshua was not removing the prohibition to murder. It is still a sin to murder. Murder is still wrong. What Yeshua was doing, he was showing the original intention of the Torah commandment, that man should be respectful of life, examine the heart intention behind the physical actions of anger, and be careful with how you treat other people. And that was all to be understood from that command in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not murder." He wasn't taking that away. He was explaining exactly what it meant. Yeshua used his Torah, used the Torah to teach people. He even quoted the Torah many times as he was tempted in the desert in Matthew chapter 4. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." If the Torah wasn't important to Yeshua, he wouldn't have said, "It is written." If he was going to talk about the New Testament, he could have said, "It will be written," or "It's going to be written." But he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. Those words start with the Torah, and it's not a boring manuscript of laws and commands, but it's teachings that have survived thousands of years, and it teaches us how to have a relationship with Yahweh and with other people. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, it reveals his character, and the Bible actually says that the Torah is a tree of life. It is a tree of life. It is life. It is fruit. It is joy as we begin to read and understand it and have our eyes open to it. Even the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:12, "Wherefore the Torah is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good." Don't think that it's something that's been done away with or pushed aside or some Jewish document only for the Jewish people, for their Jewish law. Paul said it's holy. It's righteous and good. Now, when you first meet someone, you inquire about their likes, their dislikes, their family, their occupation. And when you get to know them, you ask about their past. As your new friend reveals their life story, you really get to know them and their history unfolds, and you then can begin to appreciate their character because you understand what they've been through. Well, guess what? Yahweh's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The book of James says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers." James 1:16. Deception is a dangerous tool that the enemy uses to separate people, to separate the scriptures. There is a page in your Bible that should be ripped out. Yes, you should go to your Bible and rip out a page. It's that blank page between the Old and the New Testament. You see, deception will tell us that it's separate books. You've got the Old Testament and you've got the New Testament. Deception will tell us that the God of the Old Testament was a mean, vengeful, hateful God, and the God of the New Testament is a kind, compassionate man. Deception will lead people down a path of manipulation, condemnation, and intimidation, all disguised as grace. Think about that. Deception causes a well-built building to fall. You see, we've heard about dispensations. Oh, there was a dispensation of the law, and there was a dispensation of creation, and a dispensation of grace now that we're under, and we're free from that law. But we're not free from His Word. We're not free from His Word. We have been set free from the curses of the law. Yet the law, the Torah, remains for us. And if what you believe doesn't line up with the teachings of Moses, then your foundation has some major faults. 1 Timothy 4:16, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, You will save both yourself and your hearers. Make sure how you're living is based on the Word and not based on some man's doctrine and teaching. And there are so many things that society will tell us to do or to not do that the Bible speaks on, but because people don't read and study the Old Testament as applicable today, we forget that. We miss that, and everybody kind of makes it up as they go. That's why there are 1,900 different denominations of Christianity, because we've gotten away from the foundation. Remember what the Scriptures say, that if the foundation is destroyed, how will the righteous thrive? How will the righteous live, it says. Psalm 11:3, what can the righteous do when the foundation is destroyed? Not knowing the Torah, it leads to a spiritual void in your life. Yeshua said, you are in error because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of Yahweh. That's being said to us today, that of us who don't know the Scriptures. He wasn't speaking of the New Testament when he said that. Now, perhaps you've never read through the Torah. What's stopping you? Start in the beginning. And then as you read the Bible, understand it's all about Torah. Now, Bible teachers and historians agree the Bible is divided into seven segments. Number one, there's the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Number two, then, is the prophets. That's Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and the 12 minor prophets. Then there's the writings like the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. Then there's the Gospels. Then we're told there's the Acts of the Apostles. Then we're told there's the letters like Romans and Corinthians and Colossians, and then the Apocalypse. Now notice that this list begins with the Torah. So our faith should begin with the Torah because it lays the blueprint. The Bible is all about the Torah. So think of it this way. There's the Torah that explains how man should live in relationship with Yahweh and with other men. There's the prophets, Joshua, Judges. There's those writings in Ezekiel. That's Yahweh calling man back to Torah and to a lifestyle of worship. There's the writings like the Psalms and the Proverbs. These present the Torah in person through the lives of individuals. Then there's the Gospels, which is explaining how the Torah is intended to be interpreted through the Messiah's life and through his teachings. Then we have the Acts of the Apostles that portrays how the Torah teaching of the Savior spread. Then we have the letters like Ephesians, Romans, and Hebrews. This comments on how congregations and individuals should follow and teach the Torah and place trust solely in Him. And of course, the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, shows how the Torah reveals the end of days. It's all about the Torah. There is an accurate line of teaching throughout the Bible. In the prophetic book of Amos, it says, thus He showed me, and behold, Yahweh stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, and a plumb line in His hand. The line never contradicts itself. The Bible never contradicts itself. It proves itself through one message. They came to Yeshua, and they said, what's the greatest commandment? And in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, Yeshua answered them and said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is your Elohim, or your God. Yahweh is one. Thou shalt love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is likely unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Notice in this passage that he didn't say these are the only commandments. This is all that matters, and you can do it any way you want, and your Baptist friends can do it their way, and the Lutheran friends can do it their way, and the Methodists can do it their way. No, he didn't say that. Yes, the most important thing is to love him, and we're to do it properly and do it correctly. You know, I have a wife and five children, and when I want to be nice and kind to my wife, I help her out around the house. And you know, she's got a right way. She wants the clothes to be folded. She has a right way that she wants the floor to be swept and to be mopped and to put the dishes in the dishwasher a specific way. And if I want to please her, if I want to do the things right, I'm going to do it in a specific way, not just any way that I think is right, but I'm going to do it. The Torah shows us how we complete and fulfill the great commandment. It's like a flowchart. So if you've ever wondered, how do I love Yahweh with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength? Read the Torah. Get into the Bible. You can use a weekly reading guide. The Torah has been broken down into weekly sections to read every single week on the Shabbat, on the seventh day, to read and discuss those. We have a weekly reading guide and a teaching on the Torah portion every week located on our website at emetministries.com. you know, through having the Torah as your basis for your beliefs, you will love Yahweh with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And because everything you do, everything you say, everything you wear, everything you eat, everything you pray, everything you believe should find its origin in the Torah. Because it's only through obeying and studying these words can we understand the rest of the Bible. And it's not spirit or truth, it's spirit and truth. John chapter 4, they came to Yeshua. Yeshua was speaking to this woman at the well, and he said that there's a time that's coming that man must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Not just truth of a Torah, but the spirit. And they do not contradict each other. It is the same. Remember the verse from Isaiah 40, verse 8? The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of Yahweh remains forever. When Isaiah said those words, the only scriptures was the Torah of Moses. That's it. When he said that the word of Yahweh remains forever, he was speaking about the Torah. They haven't passed away. They stand forever. Now, man has created this idea of dispensationalism. We alluded to this earlier. You've got the dispensation of the law, dispensation of grace. Well, here's something interesting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, the Torah of Yahweh endures forever. Psalm 119:42 says, the righteousness, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Thy law is truth. It means it's not going away. Yeshua even said that, don't think that I've come to abolish the Torah. How clear does he have to be? Don't think that I've abolished the Torah. If the word is eternal, that means that it should be followed yesterday. It's to be obeyed today, and it should be kept tomorrow. And it should flow out of the heart. Again, Matthew 5, think not that I've come to abolish the Torah, but I've come to fulfill it, to show its meaning in you, to show its purpose for you, to help you keep it, to help you walk it, to live it, to know it. Heaven and earth have not disappeared. Now understand this. This is so key. In Matthew chapter 5, Yeshua said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law, the Torah, or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter of the Torah shall disappear. Is heaven and earth still here? If that's true, if we're still here in heaven and earth, then the Torah is still there. So we've established this fact. To properly comprehend the Bible, you've got to be firmly rooted in the Torah. Now, in light of his teaching, you might realize that your faith is teetering like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So maybe you need to begin to dig up that false foundation and experience a difference that will set you free. It's not law and it's not legalism when you follow the Torah. It's not a law that's going to hold you down. It's the Almighty's law. Legalism is putting commandments on you that says if you don't obey this, then you're not born again. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. Legalism also many times has to deal with man's interpretation and not just what the word says. Let me give you a few ideas to look at here to reconsider as you begin to look at Torah. Number one is Romans 14:14. It says, I am convinced that no food is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. Now most people, most modern day Christians, say that all food's okay to eat regardless of the Old Testament because the laws of unclean and kosher have passed away. Well, friend, the Torah makes it clear that some animals may be eaten by man for food and some are not to be eaten. So if you begin with a Torah understanding, you would know that a pig was never considered to be food. So that means that this verse really means that no food not mentioned in the Torah is unclean in of itself. The kosher commands did not pass away with Paul's letter. The Torah calls clean as clean, and what the Torah says is unclean is unclean. Besides, Romans says, let each man choose for himself what clean foods he is going to eat. How about Colossians 2:16? This is a verse that if you don't keep Torah and know Torah and study Torah, you'll misunderstand. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regards to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or the Sabbath day. The improper popular understanding of this means that it doesn't matter what day you worship on. You don't have to keep the feast days, or it doesn't matter what you eat or drink. Just don't judge each other in spiritual convictions. No one should look down on you if you don't worship on the Sabbath. Well, friend, that's totally wrong. The Almighty is very, very picky on what days He is commanded to be worshipped. It tells us, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. That's the seventh day from creation. The seventh day he set up before the law of Moses was given, the seventh day. What this verse says is that we are not to judge others or be judged by others for keeping the Torah. The teachings of the new moon celebration, Rosh Kodesh, or eating true kosher food or festival celebrating, these things have not changed. Nowhere in the Bible has the day of worship changed from Saturday to Sunday. That was man's doing. Numbers chapter 10 speaks about new moons and how we are to keep those as well and welcome the new Hebrew month every month. There's an improper understanding there. So a proper understanding would say that I'm not going to judge another person as they keep the new moon and as they keep the true Sabbath day. Now, if they're not keeping it, we can discuss that. But if they are keeping it, I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to look down on them as they keep the Shabbat or the Sabbath day, as the Bible commands us to do. You see, there's a whole different understanding when you look at the Torah first. What about the verse that in Luke chapter 22 that it says Yeshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Most people think that the Messiah was teaching about communion. That's not what he was saying. He was not instituting communion. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 22:8, he sent Peter and John saying, "Go prepare the Passover meal for us." If you didn't understand the Torah and the commands in the Torah, you would never understand that that was not communion. He was not replacing Passover with Easter. He was not instituting communion. He was saying, when you keep Passover, when you keep the feast days, when you keep your Torah, do it in remembrance of me. That's the foundation we are to have, that every Torah command we keep, every time we look to the Bible, we see Yeshua behind every verse, behind every letter, behind every word. That is the way that we can understand the Bible. Don't let your faith be like that leaning tower, like that building that has a bad foundation. Yeshua said that a man is foolish who builds his foundation upon the sand. Don't build your foundation upon what other people have taught you or told you or what you just learned going to church every once in a while. Read and study the Torah, then read and study the prophets, then read and study the writings, then read and study the New Testament, and as you do, you'll have an understanding like never before. To understand your Bible, your foundation must be right. Visit our website to learn more. There are hundreds of articles, hundreds of audio teachings, even videos now, where you can learn more about Torah, learn more about your foundation, and grow in your faith.
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the Scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.